not of King David. Faith is of God. And when God gives you faith, he gives you that precious gift of faith, which is exactly the same as these men and women in the Bible had. And I want us to see this. This faith thing isn't a doctrine. Hallelujah. It isn't something you can pump up like a muscle. Serving God isn't a science. Serving God is more of an art form, I guess. More of something that can't really be explained. It's times like this I get feel frustrated that my ability to communicate is so limited when I think that God has given, not offered, given every one of us a faith that is likened to the faith of water walking Peter. Now that I want to think about for a while. Are you mean to tell me that you've given me a faith that is the same as shadow healing Peter? If you don't know the story, in the book of Acts, when Peter was walking down the road, his shadow would fall upon the sick and they get healed. Tell me about that kind of faith. And now he's saying, I write to you who have a like precious faith with us. I love it. By the righteousness of our God. See, it didn't come by the brilliance of Peter. It didn't come by the strength of Peter. It didn't come by the exceeding great gifting of Peter. It came by a gift that was given to every man, woman, and child. The gift of righteousness. Now, just put your diggly-waggly thing in there. I don't know what it's called. It's not written in this book, so I don't know what it is. And go with me to Romans 5. I've quoted this so many times, but I haven't turned there in a long time. God, this book of Romans 4, 5, and 6, is so awesome. I want you to see Romans 5, and sorry we didn't have thing to hand out the Bibles this morning, but Romans 5, I just want you to see this, and I want you to look at it. I want you to underline it in your Bible. I want you to get your pen and your pencil and circle this verse. I learned this verse through a song. I learned this song. A friend of mine wrote a song to this exact verse, exact, word for word, King James Version. And I sang it again and again and again and again. And then sometime later, it hit me. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. For if by one man's offense, every one of us was doomed. For if by one man's offense, every one of us was condemned. For if by one man's offense, no matter whether your name was Daniel or Isaiah or Elijah or Solomon, you were going to hell. You need to think about that. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. And that one is Adam. That one is not you, thank God. That one is not how you were misled, misguided, mistreated. Everything in your life was a mess up because. God, how many times, I don't know how many of you other parents, the amount of times that my head is beat up about what I did wrong raising my children. I don't know if any other fathers can identify with that. And then I realized, wait a minute. There is an answer to everybody's dysfunction on the planet. An answer. And it's a gift. Oh, thank God. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Adam, why? Because his seed died and then he sowed dead seed until Jesus came along. Do you understand that? Adam died. So he sowed dead seed. And the dead seed produced dead people. Because every seed bears fruit after his own kind. It says there, if death reigned through the one, much more. Now that's, I don't know what to do with that. I'm going to have to ignore it, otherwise I'm going to lose control. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to ignore it. Somebody slap me. No. I know there's too many young men in here who say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. as a dropkick comes flying through the air from Bob. Ah. Anyway. Get down, Cato. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I want you to see that because it's emphatic that righteousness is a gift. It cannot be earned. It cannot be worked for. It cannot be prayed for. It cannot be begged for. It's a gift that was given to the world when Jesus rose from the dead. And it comes in the package of grace. So let's read it again. To those who have obtained, like precious faith, you have got it. By the righteousness of God, you have got that. And our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2. God, we're doing well. We just got through a verse. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied. Let's just think about it. You know, grace is not some ussy, wussy something that belligerent people don't understand. It is the enabling power of God. I am saved by grace through faith. I am called by grace. I grow by grace. I understand by grace. I can lay hands on the sick by grace. It's all by grace. It is the enabling power of God. It's not a weak thing. It is the most powerful thing on the earth. Praise God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Just to let you know, grace and peace does not come only by prayer. Grace and peace comes by understanding who God is. Now, grace and peace especially can come through prayer. We know that it says in Philippians chapter 4 that, by prayer and supplication and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that peace comes to you. If you're an aggressive kind of person or an angry kind of person, if you're that kind of personality, you're a belligerent kind of person, then realize that the peace of God comes by understanding God. Saying, oh, wait a minute, I see. I shouldn't react here. I shouldn't do the Peter thing. I shouldn't pull my sword out. Remember, we are talking about a man who's talking about grace and peace that used to prefer the sword to anything else. And now this swordsman is saying, guys, peace, man. You think we invented it in the 60s? No. No, Peter invented it through Jesus. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Man, I love this stuff. This stuff. This next one, I don't know. Here we go. Let's try. As his divine power, check that out. As his divine power has given to us all things. Okay. It doesn't say all things but. It doesn't say most things. It says his divine power has given us all things. And that's something that I really want you to think about. If you can meditate on this, let me just use the word meditate here quickly. Meditate. I don't know about you, but certainly the word meditate didn't exist in my vocabulary probably till the 70s, when the meditation was brought into the Western world through in the same subject as drugs or maybe Eastern religion. And of course, you know, if anybody who's been to the Eastern nations or India and those kind of places, and you think of meditation, you think of these mystics who if ever at any time anybody's trying to make something mystical, you know it ain't of God. Can I just say that? You know, it's like the Kabbalah. Oh, the Kabbalah. Oh, I want to learn about that. Who are the mystics are going to teach me about the Kabbalah? The mystery's been revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What part of that don't you understand? What part of that don't we get? There's no more mystery. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And therefore, that is what we focus on. But meditation, It simply means this. It's not clear in Greek, but in the Hebrew it's very clear. You remember when Joshua was spoken to by God and said that you must meditate in the word day and night, and that it must be continually in your mouth. Do you remember that? Continually in your mouth. It doesn't say think about it. It says it must be in your mouth. Remember, the power of death and life is in your tongue. It's not in your mind. It's in your tongue. So until you say it, you ain't going to get it. Until you say it, it ain't going to happen. Remember, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So the reality is here is meditation literally means in the Hebrew, it means to mumble and to mutter. It's like what Esther was doing under her breath. You know, remember, not Esther. Hannah, thank you. I probably looked at Esther and said Esther. And it is something that he said, if you do this, if you meditate upon this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, who's called you by his glory and virtue. Whoa. And we as Christians need to begin to practice that. Do it driving to work. Do it while you're doing the dishes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, you could do it. You can go on forever and ever meditating on the word. Just emphasize every word, every verse, just until something begins to impregnate the negative programming of this world that's been trying to, and these principalities and powers of complacency, apathy, and pessimism that are constantly trying to invade our space. And I tell you, the way to do it is we need to think about these things. Meditate on these things day and night. Mumble and mutter them. Don't just... Anyway. You got to say them. Eastern meditation, the purpose of Eastern meditation is to clear your mind. The purpose of biblical meditation is to fill your mind. It's so contrary. Why does Eastern meditation wants to clear your mind so it can fill it with something else? Huh? The principality of the air. So, anyway, that ain't the point. It is the point. Think about what I just said. Okay, let me try and press on. Oh, goodness. Joshua stopped the sun. I wonder if I can do it this morning. No. I don't have that faith. Right, here we go. It's there, but it's not working in me. Right, here we go. I'm just going to touch on this. Verse 3. As his divine power has given, past tense, to us, everybody, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay. We've done this before, but I want to do it one more. Is Haley awake? Good. Can I come over there then? And if you can all squidge a bit sideways. Can everybody see Haley? Can you stand up, or is that going to be too much problem? No. This is the one of the... Look at this. Can you see this? If you haven't met Haley, you've really missed one of the great personalities of our church. You may be seated, young lady. Sorry to bother you, but she seems out. So how old is she now? Almost 10 months. How are teeth doing? Good. How many she got?
Six.
When did you have them fitted? just playing with you. But. You know what I mean? The greatest miracle in life, I know this sounds ridiculous, but when a baby's born and their head's sometimes only about this big, you know, how does God get two sets of teeth in there? How does he do that? Does anybody know that? I'm flummoxed. Is flummox a good word? Yeah, it's okay. And I wanted to see this because having been given all things, little Miss Haley here has been given all things. They're already in there. Both sets of teeth. Go figure. I can't figure it out. And you know, the brilliant thing is that Kathy won't have to say... When Haley's six, won't have to go to the dentist and say, okay, These little ones are done. Pull them out. Put the big ones in. The process of life, the process of the plan is the little ones fall out and the big ones come in. You understand? And we go past desiring the sincere milk of the word and we go into the process of wanting the meat of the word. But the amazing thing is this little girl is absolutely complete. There's nothing more that mum has to put into this child except food. Right? There's nothing more that this child needs that this child hasn't already got. Having been given all things, help me, saints, all things that, like, I'm looking down the row here and I'm looking straight at Gary and Dave and I'm thinking, you know, when are you going to take Christopher to the doctor and say, okay, when he gets to 14, I'll bring him back and stick a few whiskers in his chin. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking over Richard and, you know, the whiskers of the world, and I don't have a mirror. I guess I look at my gray ones too, but can you see what I'm saying? Right now, you can rub Christopher's face, little smooth thing. But another 10 years from now, those whiskers are going to come. Why? He's been given all things that pertain unto life. Now, here's the best part. And godliness. So do you mean to tell me that everything I'm ever going to need from God, I've already got? Is that what you're telling me, Vaughan? No, it's what Peter's telling you by the Holy Spirit. It's exactly what Peter's telling you by the Holy Spirit. You were born complete. You were born complete. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, I think verse 10, you are complete in him. Am I correct? Is that what the word says? You are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. The purpose of putting those two things together, like we've been saying recently, is until you understand you're complete, how are you going to get above the principality and power? Because you see, as long as you're under the principality and power, the principality and power of complacency, apathy, and pessimism are going to keep telling you you lack something. And as long as you haven't got it, you're going to strive to get it. But how can you get what you've already got? You say, how can that be? But excuse me, doesn't the word say, having been born for a second time? That's what the Bible says. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed. Every one of us was born corruptible. No exceptions. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, Jesus, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So therefore, when you begin to get, do you mean to tell me that anything that I need in this life, I've already got? Now you're thinking, then how come I can't pay my debts? Well, I'll say, the Bible says he's given you the power to get wealth. So there's your answer. You've already got it. Not the wealth, but the power to get it. Did you hear that? Did you all hear that? You may have to hear it again and again and again and again, but your necessities in life have been given to you. I don't care whether you're highly educated. I don't care if you're uneducated, because over here, for instance, we have a couple of Pauls. Highly educated young men and young women. Highly educated, good grade averages. We've got 4.0 students in this house all over the place. And then on the other side, you have a bunch of Peters. High school dropouts. People who messed up in life, who did everything wrong, never got anything right. And now you tell me who's the best author, Peter or Paul. You tell me who's the greater apostle, Peter or Paul. You tell me which one of those men Jesus think is any better than the other. It doesn't matter. We are all of us somewhere between Peter and Paul. Hallelujah. Because we've all been given like precious faith. That's only three verses. But every time you see a baby, every time you see a baby, you look at that baby and think, whoa, having been given all things. So I must close with this. It's corny, but I want to do it. And that's this. Do you remember that old commercial for Prego? You remember that? Prego. Hey, Papa, what are you doing? You know, this Italian guy goes home and his dad's making spaghetti out of a jar. I mean, I'm English. I know that's wrong. I know my rich. I mean, help me, Italians in this house. I know that's wrong. I've never seen an Italian do it, but this is a classic commercial. Bull. But anyway. Well, hey, Papa, what are you doing? He says, I'm making a spaghetti, you know. And what about this? What about the onions? He says, it's in there. And what about the spices? He says, it's in there. He says, but what about, he says, it's in there. And here we are as Christians coming to God and say, well, what about, I need grace. It's in there. I need peace. It's in there. I need love. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. When you were born again, it's in there. It's in the seed. You don't have to go to a tree when it's in seed form and say, okay, when you start growing, I'm going to add bark and sap and limbs and branches and blossom. It's in there, for God's sake. Everything you need pertaining to life and godliness has been given to you through one man's act. That's the gospel. Which is why it's called good news. Meditate on this, guys. 2 Peter chapter 1. Father, I'm just so thankful. Father, I just pray right now for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon the congregation. A spirit of understanding. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Father, this cannot be grasped by natural means. This is not an academic ability, because this Peter understands it. And so, Father, I just thank you for every Peter, every Paul, every man, every woman in this place. Lord, I ask you, by your grace, open the eyes of their understanding, that they'll begin to understand what happened when they were born again. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In whose name we want to give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are blessed. Give somebody a hug and say,